Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
It's rolling okay. Can we explain to the listeners how insane we are, like what we just spent time doing? I feel like people, we can't even explain it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so we are in the League of Leagues, which is a fantasy league that's baseball, football, and basketball, and we're up to the football part.
Right there, you can end the sentence.
Oh, yeah, we're crazy people. Right, and we're up to the football part, which is not a normal football league because we decided football's too schedule based. For instance, the league I'm in that I've been in for 11 years, I had the second highest point total in the history of the league last year and missed the playoffs. So it's all schedule based. So we decided that every team should play every team every week. So the league is essentially on a Google document. So all 10 teams play each other.
By the way, we have to mention how mad you are about this league because my team has coast to coast led baseball. Yeah. And we're about to start football where I have the best team.
Yeah. So, and your basketball team is similar to mine in about three other teams in very clearly like a top four or five team and maybe the best team.
Yeah. So me and Josh Cantor, I did a good job so far. My co-owner.
Yeah. You have a real chance to really run away. I mean, you could in theory win all three leagues this year. It's certainly possible.
Wow.
I mean,
how much does that annoy you?
It doesn't annoy me that you would win football. And basketball, it's like, okay, you have a good team, I have a good team. Like, probably whichever team gets injured more will lose. But it annoys me that you won baseball because, like, you guys got...
Because I've never done fantasy baseball.
You guys got a little lucky. You drafted a great team. No injuries, really.
We had Noah Syndergaard as, our first
Well,
baseball.
Listen, if you draft a Met, that doesn't count. Like, you have to know. Like, yeah, I drafted a Met, too. Conforto has like 30 homers and like 200 at bats, but he's also out for the year. But you didn't do anything. You didn't know that Mike Stanton was on your team until recently, and he has 51 home runs. Like you do not update that team. Oh, sorry, he's back to Giancarlo.
The daily baseball updates I have not. But the only things I was involved with was I instructed my co-owner to pick up Irvin Santana, and we did, and he was really good. Then I instructed my co-owner to trade Irvin Santana, and he did, and it was a really good trade for us. Mm. And then I instructed him to pick up the Twins' next closer, Belisle.
Although I did, I probably beat you in a trade we made. Nobody cares about a fantasy baseball trade.
Which trade was that?
I gave you Mark Reynolds. You gave me A.J. Ramos, a closer.
Oh, yeah.
Reynolds hasn't really hit, and Ramos, like, got traded, but is the Mets closer now.
We have 10 points in saves. We're leading league in saves still, so.
Yeah, we're bearing the lead, which is we realize that in order to get these guys on waivers, so everybody...
Well, the lead is the Denver Broncos today, to be clear.
Huh?
The lead is actually the Denver Broncos. That's the purpose of today's podcast.
Oh, yeah. That's not the lead. So what we realize that like we have free agent auction budget, which means you have to put in a bid on each free agent. But the way we did the league, a lot of long story short, like a lot of different players were not there, and we had to figure out a way to get them there. But ESPN didn't have a customizable way, and we realized as the co-league managers in the league, if we traded any player and then cut them, they would become waiver wire material. So you and I just cut our whole teams. Picked up 15 guys who we needed to, each picked up 15 guys, and then did a 30-person trade, and then just went manually and cut every single player, and then did this
and
a second
did it
time.
Another time yeah, for yeah. the next batch.
It was insane, play, yeah. And it's 4 in the morning for me also when I had to do this. Like, so I hope everyone who's in the league, if anyone in the league is listening, appreciates that we care way more than the other 8 people. People are at the end, they're going to be like, yeah. Water Chester finished first, and Akiva finished second. Like, I mean, I probably won't finish second, but if they do, I think it will probably make sense. Yeah, but I'm tired, and I'm going to go to sleep, and you're going to talk to the Broncos guy by yourself.
So that's the extent of your Broncos conversation here?
I mean, you want to, like, they just re-signed the Brocket ship. That's exciting.
Yeah. I like the conspiracy theory that they traded him, he intentionally sabotaged to screw over two, like, competitive opponent teams.
Yeah, they tried to convince, like, Belichick to sign him as a backup, and he would have, like, given them all, like, their whole playbook and stuff.
Yeah. Although the idea that the Cleveland Browns the Broncos would need to have a conspiracy to take them down is a little far-fetched.
Yeah.
But it's really only Houston who got screwed. And Houston and Denver were the teams who were fighting over Tony Romo, people assume, in the offseason before he went for Fox. Here's my one question about the Broncos. So in our preseason power rankings, I had them 9, you had them 7, a cumulative average of 8. In hindsight, I think that I was way too high on them, and you're even higher than me. Do you think that you were too high at 7 3 weeks later?
On the Broncos?
Yeah. I mean, there's a team that went 9-7 last year.
No, I think their defense is great.
They haven't done anything to improve. Yeah, their defense was great last year.
No, I think Simeon will be a little bit better. I think between the three quarterbacks, someone will give them like a competent enough play, I think. I mean, it won't be
Here's the thing. But they had no pass protection last year, and now they've replaced Russell Okung with a rookie who, by the way, spoiler alert, because I'll bring this up when our guest comes on, but Robbie says that Garrett Bolles was the worst pick in the entire draft.
Wow.
So they're not going to be able to protect their quarterback. Right. Okay. Last year they had the number one defense, but they were also 28 in offense in DVOA. And what have they done to improve that? So they're like the Vikings, slightly stronger version, I guess, because they're probably a little better defensively. But all right. So you go to sleep, and I'm going to bring our guest on now.
All right. Bye.
By the way, the difference between this time and every other time is like you weren't on the Jaguars and the Titans episodes the last few days. But we pretended you were. Now you're like openly admitting that you're sleeping through these podcasts.
Yeah, but I also gave them 10 minutes of electric content explaining our fantasy football league waivers.
You're almost trolling the Broncos fan because now no one will have listened to his podcast because it was preceded by 6 minutes of complete inanity. But all right.
Now I'm on this. We're not recording, right?
No, we are recording.
Oh, shoot.
You want me to stop?
Oh, no, I was going to say something very racy.
Oh, yeah, I bet you were.
You shouldn't have told me.
Wait, now you're not going to tell me? You can't tease the listeners.
No, it's not. It wasn't racy. I was just going to call somebody out. And now I'm not going
to
do it.
Oh, you're so annoying. All right, you go to sleep, and Travis, you come on the podcast now. Okay, so now we have Travis Henry on the podcast. Travis, welcome back. Second year in a row representing the Broncos on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm coming back. Last year when I was doing this, we were on a high, and this year we're sort of, it's. Everyone feels like it's the apocalypse in Denver at this moment. So,
yeah. So, well, last year we did this. Keeve and I tried something different. We did whole divisions at a time. So we had all four guests from the AFC West on. The AFC West was definitely the biggest failure of that experiment. Although it was entertaining, I think the Chargers fan in particular was getting everybody riled up. But I do recall, and it was, as you said, you were fresh off the high of having just won a Super Bowl, 9 months prior. So that obviously affected your attitude, but and so I don't know if you'll take this as a compliment or an insult, but you definitely seemed like one of like the more homers, very confident. You thought you guys were for sure going 13-3, so that didn't happen. The defense was just as good last year as it was in the Super Bowl winning year, and the offense, obviously it didn't seem like things could get much worse than Peyton, but the offense as a whole really really struggled passing the ball and running the ball. And so you finished 9-7, but this is a division where. Even though the Raiders and Chiefs both went 12-4, I think a lot of people think those teams are primed for a little bit of regression. The Chiefs obviously had a terrible offseason, and the Raiders, they were 12-4, but with like a plus 39 point differential, and now they have a first place schedule, and the question is, are they really more of like a 9-7 type team who a little bit overperformed last year? So coming into the season, you said you don't feel like the same way you did last year, but does that mean like, your goal is just, can we sneak into the playoffs somehow? Or, what are your expectations, I guess?
Yeah, I guess I would say is I definitely think I don't see the Kansas City Chiefs kind of repeating what they did last year, but I do worry about the Raiders because I think that, we sort of live in a vacuum and in a bubble here. Is AFC West is really all that exists and everything else is just peripheral until we get later on in the season. And the Raiders really look like a team that, it all comes down to the quarterback. We do not have a quarterback and they have Derek Carr. So whenever we look towards other teams and we see that the Raiders have Derek Carr, that really comes down to it. That's kind of what's spooking us at the moment. We still have a great defense, but right now, the fact that Denver fell in love with Kyle Sloter. Do you even know who Kyle Sloter is, or is that just a Denver thing?
No.
Yeah. So that's how dire we are in our quarterback situation right now. Is that we have Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch has just been declared a bust. And we had this kid named Kyle Sloter who played.
Wait, hold on. I'm just discovering that he just signed with the Vikings.
He did. Yeah. So, and you know what that means. I mean, so he's destined for some sort of ruin or failure with the Vikings, of course. So, so what happened with Kyle Sloter was we have Trevor Siemian, and we were looking all summer long for either Trevor or Paxton to just kind of bust out and really be the quarterback of the future, and it didn't happen. It's not that Trevor really won the job, it's that Paxton just regressed, And so all of a sudden we have this kid playing in our preseason games named Kyle Sloter. He went to a Division III college up north in Greeley where the Broncos used to have their two-a-days. And all of a sudden he's like, you know, lighting it up against third stringers in the preseason games. And all of Denver fell in love with Sloter. There was songs, Team Sloter. Everybody thought this Kyle Sloter kid was going to be. And I think he only played quarterback his senior year at this Division III school.
Well, hold on. So here's my question. The Vikings signed him to their practice squad. Why couldn't the Broncos do that? I understand that they needed to add a healthy quarterback because of Paxton's injury to be like a backup. But why couldn't they at least put him on the practice
squad? Yeah, what I read was that the Vikings actually offered him more money, $20,000 a week instead of $9,500 a week that the Broncos were offering him.
Okay, and that's not nothing, I guess, when you're a guy on the periphery. Of the league.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so this is just
I could use $20,000 a week.
Oh, so could I. Yeah, I know. I looked at that. But so what happened, so this is literally, this just happened Saturday, is that everybody was on board for Sloter. It was Sloter all the way, backing up Simeon. Simeon was actually an afterthought. He's our starter, but everybody was in love with this kid. And we did the unthinkable. We cut TJ Ward, and we
brought... Yeah, we got to talk about that one also.
Yeah, and we brought Brock Osweiler back to the fold. And if you're in Denver right now, it's like, you know, I have an Elway jersey hanging up in my in my bar where I'm looking at it right now.
It's curdling at the seams.
Everybody loves Elway, but now all of a sudden Twitter and everybody's questioning John Elway and what could he have done. And it's basically because when Brock left Denver,
you burned him out the door.
Yeah, and he was, you know, everyone was like, good riddance, get out of here, go away. And now
he successfully sabotaged, you know, a conference rival.
He sure did, you know. And now we're I think that, you know, and so now that he's coming back, you know, you just have the fans who are up in arms. And I was the same way. My reaction was the same. And then I kind of thought about it, and really the truth is Sloter's experience consists of a few games in Greeley and some preseason, and Brock, you know, led our Broncos to a 30-24 overtime win over a Patriots team. That had entered the game with a 10-0 record. And so, you know what, we don't get to the Super Bowl without him. And and I'll take Osweiler for the Veteran League minimum over Sloter or Paxton, because I do think Paxton is a bust, and I don't think And that's what people keep forgetting, because this was really a competition between Simeon and Paxton, and Simeon kind of rose to the top. So now we're all of a sudden talking about our backup, and I think Osweiler definitely better than Sloter. It was fun for the preseason, but you know it was preseason. So,
you know, I should have asked Superfan Robbie, our college football expert, about this. We just previewed college football a couple days ago, or yesterday with him, but. Paxton Lynch in Memphis, to me, you know, he'd be playing those games against Houston where it'd be like 50-44, but he never struck me as a guy who was going to be an NFL quarterback. And I was surprised, you know, that he was drafted, you know, in the first round.
You know, I think it was his size. I think that it was his size, and I think Elway just really was looking
for... Well, that's what they liked about Osweiler, right?
I know, you know, and how many times...
Target like the tallest quarterbacks.
How many times are we going to do this? And the thing about Sloter, too, Sloter, you know, he was playing Division III football, but he was also like 6'5", 220.
Oh,
so.
Really? Are you a Nuggets fan?
I am a Nuggets fan, yeah.
I was going to say, Paul Millsap has a good arm. He's a good passing big man.
That's true. They probably are talking to him. So I think, though, so what happened is so that's where we are today.
What's the explanation for the TJ Ward cut, though?
You know, I think that it's really is – we are eternally trying to emulate New England, and New England always has this reputation of a year too early. And you know, the truth is we are we're okay back there.
But the difference is that New England trades these guys, so they're getting value back for them.
Yeah, I agree. So I think that they, you know, what they were saying was that they were shopping him around and that there really wasn't any takers. And so in the end, you know, we feel confident with Justin Simmons, and we saved $4.5 million by cutting him. So I think they.
I mean, look, I'm a Vikings fan, and they just cut Alex Boone, their only experienced offensive lineman. So I don't know what the hell these teams are doing.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not sure either. I just think that the truth is, T.J. Ward, he didn't play one preseason game. He does have these hamstring injuries, and I think, you know, and everyone says it's not too serious, but the Broncos are actually, it benefits them to say that it's not too serious when they were trying to trade him. So I don't know. Maybe the injury is a little bit more serious than they let on, but I think either way they were saying we're not going to pay $4.5 million for this guy when I think they were really ready to get Justin Simmons into the wings anyway. So,
all right, so you're coming into the season with Trevor Siemian. I guess my question is, even in front of that, you know, this is a team that had no pass protection last year, and you've replaced Russell Okung with a rookie left tackle, Garrett Bowles.
Garrett Bowles,
yeah. And this is where superfan Robbie, he thought that Bowles was the worst pick in the entire draft. He's old. He does not have a ceiling or an upside. So, you know, have they resolved at all the pass protection issue from last year?
Yeah, which is funny because I remember I actually did the podcast with you guys where we did our picks too, and I know that everyone was thinking we were going to get Garrett Bowles, and I was not. But anyway, so here's the thing I would say first about Garrett Bowles is I was really down on him. I really was like, oh, this is a terrible pick. And just from watching training camp and preseason and how this guy and hearing what, you know, not only the pundits who are there every day, but how the players are speaking of him, I think Garrett Bowles may end up being a player, which is really surprising, a really pleasant surprise. Saying that, though, I don't know. I mean, the truth is our line, when I look at it, doesn't look like it got much better. You know, the fact that we kept Donald Stevenson, who was playing, you know, in our last preseason game and giving up sacks to fourth stringers, I'm not sure. And so when I came on last year, you know, my premise was that Peyton Manning was terrible the year before and we won the Super Bowl. We can't get any worse. But the truth is, I don't think it's the quarterback play. We can have Simeon, we can have Slaughter, we can have, you know, anybody back there, but until our line improves, I'm not sure. And that's why I'm not so optimistic as, you know, as I was last year. Because last year I thought, gosh, we have to improve just because our quarterback play was so terrible. I don't think it's the quarterback play anymore. I really think it's the line, and I don't think that we've done much to solidify that.
Yeah, and by the way, quarterback, we've discussed all the way down to the third string quarterback for the Broncos. We did not mention Swag Kelly, who you know was taking the very last pick of the draft.
That's right, Mr. Irrelevant. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, and Bobby thinks that you guys should start Swag Kelly.
I mean, now he's
on injured reserve. I think he injured his wrist or something.
Yeah, yeah. So, I think that you know, and that's one reason too, because I think that he might be eligible to come back half season. They were saying, but I think that's another reason why we didn't go after Slaughter so much for the practice squad, because Chad Kelly may end up getting some field time on that. But really, you know, when you talk about that, it's not such a joke. I mean, how dire the Broncos are right now. But I think that may be an experiment that's a year out. The truth is, though, we do have Jake Butt who's sitting there, and he could be eligible to come back.
Robbie's a Michigan guy, so he loves Jake Butt.
Yeah, and so that may be something.
And you really haven't had a tight end in a couple since Julius Thomas went to Jacksonville, I think.
Right, right. And so that's something that we're kind of excited about because, you know, right now if you look, we are, you know, the fact that we still have Jeff Eierman on our roster is, you know, just showing how troubled we are at that position. AJ Derby may end up being something. I'm not sure. Virgil Green is our starter, but I think we're all sort of kind of grasping like at these what ifs. I mean, and let's just talk about our running backs because the truth is we could have the best upside or we could have the most dismal running back core in the whole league. All of our running backs, CJ Anderson, Jamal Charles, Devontae Booker have some sort of injury there's some.
Yeah, if you're expecting anything from Jamal Charles at this point,
I don't know. He looked pretty good. You know, he looked pretty good. That third
I understand
game.
That emotion because when you're a fan of an opposing team in the division and you saw this guy just destroy the the league for a couple of years, like, now we finally got him on our team.
But you know, I remember being a kid when we drafted Tony Dorsett, thinking like, oh, Tony Dorsett, and that did not work out too well for the Denver Broncos. Years, and I don't even know if you know that Tony Dorsett was on the Broncos, but so.
Well, I actually know because I just read an article about talking about Marshawn Lynch in Seattle, in Oakland, and Adrian Peterson in New Orleans, and was talking about elite running backs who switch careers at the end of their career to a new team.
Yeah, it's never
worked out.
It's never worked out too well, right? But Jamal Charles, though, look, C.J. Anderson is our starter, and we live or die by how C.J. Anderson does.
But I think we've seen from C.J. Anderson year after year that he's a good guy to play, to get 10 or 12 touches a game, but he's not going to be a workhorse running back.
Yeah,
he's
well,
stay upright.
Well, so you can work him for maybe 6 or 7 games where you are giving him all the touches, but then he's going to wear down and he's going to get hurt. Now we have this rookie D'Angelo Henderson who looks like he's the real deal. You know, and I don't give too much credit to rookies in other positions, but we know from running back positions. I don't know. I'm in a keeper fantasy league where I picked up David Johnson a few years ago for like $1, and it's an auction league, and now I'm paying $6 for him because nobody knew who he was at the time. So
could be worse. I had him his rookie year, and then I dropped him. He had like 4 touchdowns the first 4 games, like kick return, punt return, all these other ways.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but that's not like repeatable. Yeah. I need him as a running back.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So I like this D'Angelo Henderson kid. And the truth is, hey, if Jamal Charles can just I don't know. I mean, you're right. Like it is.
But look, actually, it's not crazy. Look what Chris Johnson did in Arizona, where when they had an injury and they needed him, he actually stepped up and performed well.
That's true. Well, and who when Le'Veon Bell went down,
D'Angelo Williams.
D'Angelo Williams was like,
he's also old now.
Yeah, but it looked like the best running back in the league for a while. Yeah. So, and Devontae Booker's also good. The only problem with him is he's hurt too. So he's just but he's a young guy, and hopefully that was a freak injury. So I don't know. I mean, the truth is, our offense is a mess. We still have Demaryius Thomas and we have Emmanuel Sanders, who are fantastic receivers if we can get them the ball. And Trevor Siemian is super, super. He's smart. He's got it above the head. He makes, he's not going to throw interceptions. He could play, I hate to say Brady-esque because nobody's Brady, but he has that sort of those intangibles of where he's a smart quarterback who kind of commands the field when he's out there. The problem is if he's on his back the whole time, it doesn't really matter.
All right, so let's switch to the defensive side now for
a
second.
Yes, please.
Yeah, so that's obviously where the Broncos are going to hang their hat. But there's a difference between, being the best defense in the league and being, like, one of the best defenses of all time. So last year the Broncos had the best defense in the league. They were number one in DVOA. But, they were 14 in DVOA overall because if you have an elite – and I know this a little bit as a Vikings fan, although, they had injuries down the stretch and the defense wasn't so great anymore. But if you have an elite defense but no offense, it's hard to get anything done. The year before – the Broncos had, the number one defense in the league, but in DVOA, it wasn't just number one for 2015. It was one of the greatest of all time, which is why, they could be, a team that could win the Super Bowl even with an offense that was, again, bottom 10. So, this defense, you've lost a couple guys getting older, like TJ Ward, you said, but it's still a great defense, but can it be the difference between, a great defense in a seasonal way and a great defense like in an all-time way, which is really what you need if you're going to beat the Patriots in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's right. So, I don't see that. I mean, I see them as being still elite, still tops, And I would say that, so when we go back 2 years ago, when we look at the stats, we can say that's how we got to the Super Bowl. But there was a lot of also just luck, right? Balls going the right way.
Yeah, but that happens any time in the playoffs,
right? Right. So,
Look, the Giants have won 2 Super Bowls in the last 10 years with 9-7 mediocre teams.
Exactly. So my point is, so that's my point is that we don't have to be the best defense of all time. We just have to get to the playoffs, right? Yeah. And so and I think we can do that because, here's the truth. In the AFC West, last year I was kind of afraid of the AFC West. This year, I'm only Oakland. But the thing is like Jack Del Rio, he reminds me a lot of John Fox, where like, he seems to get it, and he seems to, like, get his teams almost there, but just not quite, you know, just doesn't quite to get him over the hump. So we're kind of relying on Jack Del Rio to, like, you know, at some point implode his team and them not to make it up to snuff. And then,
well, if you're not afraid of anyone else in this division other than Oakland, I mean, there's nobody else in the AFC other than, you know, the division lead. There's nobody else for the wild card you're worried about, right? I mean, who? Cincinnati? I mean, who? There's nobody in the AFC East who's a wild card contender, right? There's nobody in the AFC South who's a wild card contender. You know, maybe you could argue Tennessee, Houston, the team between them that doesn't win that division.
It all comes down to the Patriots, right? It all comes down to the Patriots.
But what I'm saying is, but if the Broncos, okay, so let's say the Broncos, if you see them not winning the division, Oakland winning the division,
okay,
you still expect them in the playoffs?
Well, yeah, I would think that we would be a wild card team. Well, play Pittsburgh, maybe. I mean, well, we'd play New England. I mean, that's probably who. It seems to me. I can't remember us not playing New England the past 10 years, right? Either for a critical regular season game or in the playoffs. And so it all comes down to always play New England. And so, yeah, so if we look at Oakland, and let's say Oakland does win the division, yeah, maybe you're playing Cincinnati, maybe you're playing Houston. Indy probably is going to just – I don't know what happened to Indy. It's
Well, Andrew Luck was their only good player, and he's not healthy to start the year. So.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and it's sad. They're trying to repeat what they did with Peyton.
But what are they going to do, draft Sam Darnold? Like, Andrew Luck's only 26 years old.
I know. So, I do have I'm optimistic about us getting to the playoffs, but in Denver, we hold ourselves to kind of a, you know, to a pretty high standard.
Well, hold on. If we go back to the sentence you just said, maybe the Colts will give you Andrew Luck the way they give you Peyton Manning.
That's true. That wouldn't be such a bad idea.
He'll be back in a big way in 2018.
Yeah. Probably. Well, I'll text John and see if he see what he thinks. I mean, I actually, you know, but even then, we need the offensive line. We need an offensive line. I mean, I think it keeps coming back to that. Doesn't matter how good our defense is. Doesn't matter how good our quarterbacks is. Until we can do something with that offensive line, we're in trouble.
Let me ask you a question. Do you know what a scoregami is?
Tell me what a scoregami is.
Okay, so scoregami was this great video this guy made on SB Nation last year. I think I called his 20-minute video the greatest TV show of 2016, actually. And he basically made this chart of every score of a game that has ever happened in NFL history dating back to 1920.
Gotcha.
And 30-2, your win against the Arizona Cardinals in the final preseason game, that was a scoregami. 30-2 has never happened in an NFL game in history.
Oh, that's great to know.
So, yeah. But preseason games, unfortunately, don't count for scoregami.
Oh, darn it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because yeah. I don't think that – because most of, like, the two games were in the early years of football, but that's when nobody was scoring 30.
Well, yeah. So what happened with – so Kyle Sloter. So, yeah, so everyone's like, oh, Kyle Sloter is – he's the next coming, you know, and he's everything. And so basically the coaches said, hey, yeah, so you have a chance. You know, this is your chance to show us what you can do. And, like, third play of the game, he got sacked for a safety. So that was that was kind of when the writing on the wall. And he came back and he played great or whatever. But I think that was when, you know, the Broncos were like, look, we're not having this guy as our backup quarterback. So he still was better than Paxton Lynch, though.
Let's look at the schedule for a second. You guys are starting in week one, the way the Vikings started the last 2 years, with the late Monday night game. Yeah. I mean, back that used to be like Mike and Mike or Chris Berman, like just some god-awful announcer. I think Rex Ryan might be involved this year.
Yeah.
So that'll be a game you keep on mute. But you're home against the Chargers. Are you? We're playing the schedule game, by the way. So are you going to take that as a win or a loss?
You know, I am taking that one as a win.
The Los Angeles fans don't travel well to Denver.
And the Chargers you know what? I did take.
I'm trying to imagine someone in LA who becomes such a hardcore Chargers fan so quickly that not only are they getting season tickets to that dinky 38,000 seats, but that they're traveling to Denver.
Yeah,
for
right. Well, hey, even San Diego games in San Diego, we would consider them Denver home games.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, it was just crazy.
I can't imagine there'll be 1,000 Chargers fans in the whole stadium.
No. Right.
So that's a win. Week two at home for the Cowboys, a bit of a stiffer challenge.
So the question is, you know, is Ezekiel Elliott, is he
Yeah.
Playing.
And by the way, if we post this on Tuesday, then by the time people are listening, they may know the answer.
That's true.
We're recording this Monday night, but I think the answer is going to come out tomorrow. I think it'll be reduced, but I don't think he's playing week two. I think it'll be reduced to two games.
Yeah, so
it's kind of insane. Like, my, without knowing any of the facts, obviously, my assumption is that he probably did not do very nice things to that girlfriend. However, when the NFL investigator is recommending no suspension, it's
very hard to justify.
I don't think he's a great guy. I don't think that, you know, he was probably great in that relationship, but the NFL investigator, who knows a lot more about it than me, you know, recommended no suspension. So I'm not sure how they ignored that. So.
Yeah. So normally I would say that, Denver looks like a pretty, the Cowboys look pretty tough, but Denver usually plays pretty good against them. And especially at home, I'm going to take that as a win. And I know that may have me sounding like a homer, but I think that we are going to play them well at home.
All right, and that game will probably be get most of the country watching a late game
yep.
on Fox.
Yep.
Anytime the Cowboys are full.
Yep.
All right, week three, go at Buffalo, first road game.
Yep, and I'm going to think that we are going to stumble there.
Okay, all right, so two wins against better teams at home, and then a loss on the road.
Yeah.
That's a Buffalo team that.
Yep.
Nathan Peterson might be their starting quarterback, apparently, who yep. I never heard of until today. So. All right, but all right, 2-1. You come home last game before the bye against the hated Raiders, who might also probably 2-1, maybe 3-0, something like that.
Yeah,
so, an important game heading into the early bye.
And I think we're going to lose that one at home.
All right, so you dropped it 2-2. Bye week, come out of the bye week, at home on Sunday Night Football against Eli and the Giants.
We're gonna crush them.
All right, I'm glad to hear that because I always enjoy seeing the Giants lose. All right, 3-2. Then you go at Los Angeles to wrap up that season series
in
October.
We're gonna win in the soccer stadium.
Okay, yeah, so a sweep of the Chargers. There will be very few Chargers fans in that stadium, I think, for that game.
Yep.
All right, so now 4-2, and now Monday night, the first game against the Chiefs of the year.
I think that we're going to beat the Chiefs.
All right, so you go into Kansas City in Arrowhead, you win. Yep. Now you're 5-2.
Yep.
In this hypothetical, I don't know where Oakland and Kansas City are, and the Chargers, well, I guess they have at least two.
Yeah.
I would assume you're probably near the top of that division, if not at the top of it.
Chiefs are probably at 4-3. I think the Raiders are... Maybe their only loss is against us.
All right. Okay, so now 5-2. You go at Philadelphia the next week.
Yeah. Oh, we beat Philadelphia.
Okay, so now you're 6-2.
Yeah.
You're facing the, I'm going to assume, 8-0 Patriots.
Yeah.
At home. Last year, a couple of years ago, as you said, with Brock Osweiler, no less, you ended the Patriots' undefeated season.
Yeah. I think they crush us.
All right, so Sunday Night Football. Now, I have actually, when I predicted every game of the season, I predicted the Broncos to win this game and that to be New England's first loss. That's the good news for you as a Broncos fan. The bad news is I don't think that highly of the Broncos. I think, you know, this is a defense that has shown that they can,
rattle Brady, but I also think that the Patriots are a team that actually have, they won't say it publicly, but they have long memories. Right, and they remember what happened last time they were in Denver. And I think that if they get the opportunity, they're just gonna crush us. But I do think this. I mean, I do have
this. This is a Broncos team that would cause even like in the Jake Plummer years, you guys were beating them.
Yeah, I do think it's that memory from last year where they're going to. I think you know Patriots, when they set their minds to something, they can do something. Now I will say this though, I do have this sort of dream scenario where. The Trevor Siemian gets hurt in the first quarter, and Brock Osweiler comes back to exact revenge on the Patriots, and then leads us to the Super Bowl. Which you know, so that's my alter scenario that I'm not gonna say it for this podcast exactly because I might get drug tested. But we are in Colorado, so for this purpose, I'm gonna say that's a loss.
All right, 6-3 at home the next weekend, Cincinnati. Again, probably one of the chief rivals for a wild card spot.
But by November 19th, we're crushing the Bengals.
Oh wow! So 7-3. The over under on this team is 8. You might hit it in November if you can. You go into Oakland for the rematch.
Yeah, yeah. I think that we lose at Oakland.
Okay. All right. So 7-4.
Yep.
Right. And now you go at Miami.
Yep. Jay Cutler throws 5 interceptions.
But you're giving a lot of benefit of the doubt that Jay Cutler's even still playing in December, I think.
That's true.
All right, I don't know. How do Broncos fans feel about Jay Cutler? I mean, he was traded. It wasn't, you know, his fault.
Oh, we hate Jay Cutler.
Oh, okay. I mean, like everybody else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bronco fans actually doesn't matter whether they get traded or, you know, or left on their own or what. I mean, once a quarterback leaves Denver, he's, you know, he's hated. So
all right, so 8-4, you're home against the Jets, who are starting semi-pro players at that point, I think.
Yep, that's a bye.
Okay, so 9-4, and so yeah, you were definitely taking the over on 8, right?
Yeah, oh for sure, yep.
Are you insulted that, you know, half the league is at 8.5 this year, and the Broncos are below them? Vegas has the Broncos as a below-average team.
I mean, I think that they've it was the same way of last year, and we beat that. And I think the year we won the Super Bowl, what was it, like 9? So
yeah, well, nobody's is really ever over like 11.5. So yeah, I think they were 12-4 that year, so I'm sure they went over the over.
Yeah, yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots this year are 12.5. That's the highest I've just
ever seen. We're used to in Denver. I mean, that's – and whether it's true or not, I don't know. But we're used to, like, being disrespected. That's just – that's kind of our mantra, you know?
Yeah, all you've done is win 3 Super Bowls in the last 15 years.
That's right. That's right.
All right, okay, so 9-4. Now you go at Indy on a Thursday night. Short rest. Yeah. Luck, in theory, is playing at this point, but who knows?
Yeah, I think we beat Indy.
Yeah, because even like Indy was beating the Peyton Manning Broncos, you know, when they were Super Bowl contenders. But all right, so but
Indy has dropped so far. Like, I don't know what happened with Indy.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, they have no team running. All right,
yeah,
10-4, Christmas Eve, you're at Washington.
So we're at Washington. I think that, you know, I got
you. It might be a preview of your next quarterback. Kirk Cousins will be a free agent.
I know. I think the Redskins. I think the Redskins win that game.
All right. So 10-5. Still most likely, if they haven't clinched a playoff spot, then they have a lot on the line at home against the Chiefs. Are you going to get a season sweep against the Chiefs?
We're going to beat the Chiefs.
Oh wow! So 11-5. Okay, so locked into the playoffs. But you know, do you expect 11-5? You expect to win the division, or you expect to be behind Oakland?
We're going to be behind Oakland, because Oakland's either going to be 12-4 or they're going to be tied with us, but they'll have the tiebreaker.
Yeah. All right. So then that means that you have to go on the road to face probably Houston. I would imagine.
Do you really think Houston?
Or Tennessee? I don't know who's winning that. I mean, who's winning that division?
Yeah. Right. I guess. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean. Yeah, either give us a win, no matter who. I mean, except for
5-4. It really annoys me that the NFL does this. I understand why the owners want every division winner to automatically make the playoffs. I don't personally agree, but fine. You want to do that, do that.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why they're guaranteed a home game. Now, it benefited you guys the Tebow year when you were an 8-8 and playing at home against an 11-5 Pittsburgh team.
Yeah.
But it's just stupid that a far better team, because they're in a division with another good team, is always on the road in Week 1 against the worst division winner.
But we'll take it. I mean.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So then, and then the next week, that means you'd have to go into New England.
Yeah. I see it very much playing out just like it did the Tebow year, where we, you know, beat Pittsburgh at a, you know, last minute Hail Mary, and then New England kind of brought us down to earth. And I think this year that'll happen. I think that'll happen again.
I think that has to be a big improvement on last year to go 11-5 and make the divisional round of the playoffs.
I think it would be fantastic.
With Trevor Siemian. So does that mean that Trevor Siemian's your quarterback entering next season as well? Are you doing this despite him?
I think that if Trevor plays, if Trevor's the leader and we get to an 11-5 season this year, that the best thing that we could do is go into next year as Trevor, the solidified name starter. I think one of the biggest detriments this year has been that, because, you know, they called it an open competition. There was no secret. They really wanted Paxton to take the job. You know, it was Elway's first round pick, you know, and they really wanted him to kind of grab the reins, and he didn't. And I think that was a distraction, you know. And so I think next year, if we can go in and if Trevor really proves himself and we say, look, Trevor's the starter, we're not going to have any distractions on that, and then really, you know, work on solidifying the offensive line, because I don't think that we did that. You know, as much as we talked about it, and as much as everything, I think Garrett Bowles actually might be a good addition, you know. But we're still, you know, we still are dealing with the Donald Stevensons and the Ronald Learys of the world, and you know, Menelik Watson's, who I don't know. We'll see. So, but I just really feel like that's really where we're going to be weak, and unless we do something, it's just we're going to be just doing this year after year. So, I mean, the one thing about the Broncos, I'll say this, is what's kind of put us in a position is we're not used to having crappy quarterbacks. We're not used to having this like new quarterback every year. Even, you know, when we have Elway, we have Manning, you know, even Jake Plummer, who Osweiler went and worked out, by the way, which I think might be a good thing. So, but we're kind of like now we're kind of stuck with the rest of the league where, you know, every year you're wondering, you know, who's the leader of our team? And that's, you know, I guess it's good for the NFL because that's where you get parity and that's where you get different teams winning all the time. But it's not that much fun.
All right. Well, can't complain if you go 11-5 and
that's true
to the hated Patriots because you know they might not have a loss all season. All right. Thanks so much for joining us, Travis. Good luck to your Broncos this year. And
all right. And go and hey, and good luck. Good luck to the Vikings. I told you, like my neighbor across the street, he flies a Vikings fan before every game, and I started going over there and watching it with him, and that became my NFC East team. And I really discovered how heartbreaking it is to be a Vikings fan.
Yeah.
Because as good as they are and they're rolling, I mean, they really like the things
they'll
that
find
happen,
a way to lose. Yeah. Oh, well, there was the game at Denver a couple years ago, actually.
It's
when Teddy Bridgewater was driving for possibly a game winning or game tying drive. And, you know, the fumble.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
In December, we did the same thing against the Cardinals on national television.
Yeah, yeah. So. It's like, it's gut punches. I always think the Vikings just take gut punches like no other. So,
yeah. Well, I have no expectations this season, so yeah. I can only be left on. I don't know if you saw Sports Illustrated's prediction. I think we'll save that for the Vikings podcast, which is in a day or two. But Sports Illustrated made a prediction for the Vikings, which, if it were to happen, would be just another, you know, all time gut punch for the Vikings.
Gotcha.
So.
Well,
I'm the only one who's still reading Sports Illustrated at this point in 2017, but they're openly trolling me with their prediction.
You need to go and check out the video for Team Slaughter.
Okay.
So, and actually the song Team Slaughter, and so it's.
Well, you guys got a lot of backup quarterbacks with the songs because Swag Kelly has his own song. Right?
Yeah. We got the most talented backup quarterbacks in the entire country. But
yeah.
But you guys have Slaughter now, so watch out. He may be starting for you guys before you know it. So.
All right, Team Slaughter. Okay, thanks so much.
Good
and,
talking to
good
you.
Good luck, Travis.
All right, bye-bye. See you. Bye.
Welcome to the Slaughter House. Team Slaughter, Team Slaughter. Number one on the field and in the heart. Team Slaughter, Team Slaughter. He's undefeated and blowing up the depth chart. Team Slaughter, Team Slaughter. Look out for Kim from UNC. Team Slaughter, Team Slaughter. It's a chewy controversy.
Okay, listen, there's no chance Akiva's going to know anyway unless someone tweets at him or writes on the Facebook wall because we know Akiva doesn't listen to the podcast anyway, but I don't want him to go complain and say that I didn't play like I was supposed to. I didn't play his outro song, so I'm going to go ahead and play it now, and, you know, I can't complain because it was played. Bye.
My sweet summer's gone, and on my mirror she made it clear, lipstick can't be wrong. My summer, summer, my sweet summer is gone. My sweet summer is gone. Warm was the weather outside the day we met. Blue was the color of skies the day she left. Short was the time we had, it was the best. Cause long were the nights we spent with no rest. I met her on a Friday, she left on a Monday. Wrote me a letter, said she hoped to see me someday. We had a good time, I can't deny that. You could be my sunshine every time you cry back.
Cause there's another one, no loving, and I hate to see you go. My sweet summer's gone. She left me here with sand in my bed. She played me all night long, but I'd do it all over again. Oh, my sweet summer's gone, and on my mind she made it clear her lipstick can't be wrong. My summer, summer, my sweet summer is gone. My sweet summer is gone.
Yeah, she left in the morning, gone without warning. Fun while it lasted, lost in the moment. She played me real good, took me for a ride. Now she's off on an aeroplane back to real life. Yeah, she dipped out, smoked on my weed, then she flipped out. Left in my slumber, waited till I passed out. And on my dresser was a paper and her number. I filled it up with grass and I burned it for summer.
Cause there's another one, your loving. And I hate to see you go. My sweet summer's gone. She left me here with sand in my bed. She played me all night long, but I do it all over again. Whoa. My sweet summer's gone. And all my men, she made it clear. Her lipstick can't be wrong. My summer, summer, my sweet summer is gone. My sweet summer is gone. Left like a midnight thief. You ain't no friend of me. How could you lead me on? Now my sweet summer is gone. My sweet summer is gone. Now my sweet summer is gone. My sweet summer is gone. Now my sweet summer is gone.